mine.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The doctor is in.
Call now to speak with Colleen Mast, 877-573-7825. From conception to eternity, Colleen wants to visit with you about the important things in your life. No matter what you're dealing with, Colleen has great advice for you.
The doctor is in. The doctor is in. The doctor is in.
877-573-7825. Start dialing now. The call and the advice are free.
The doctor is in. The doctor is in. The doctor is in.
Welcome to The Doctor is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number, 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK is the number where you can get some free, friendly advice. And we can look at our life's problems in the eyes of faith, hope, and love. Because we are Christians, the resurrection people. This is the Easter season now. So we have a higher calling than just all the complainers and cynical people of the world. So you might be feeling cynical or be tempted to cynicism. But you got to remember, we're infused with God's grace, His life. He lives in us. So we can look at problems in a positive way. I mean, just think of Jesus. Even a crucifixion can't stop Him. So it shouldn't be able to stop us either. So if that's not a source for optimism for today's problems, I don't know what is. So give me a call. What are you struggling with? What's disturbing your peace? What just can't you figure out? Or what do you need a second opinion on as you're trying to live out the church teachings and share the church teachings and raise your children with virtue and love your spouse that just seems impossible to love today? Give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today on The Doctor is In. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. Our show is produced by Ave Maria Radio and brought to you by your local Catholic radio station. So please do your part in supporting the station that brings you this show. And give me a call because your calls drive the show. I don't know what the topics are today. You do. It's in your mind. Actually, for some of you, it's been on your mind for a while. Oh, when should I call? I should call. I've got this problem. I don't know when to call. Today's the day. Summer is usually easier to get in because some people are on the road on vacation. And so they're always, if you get always busy signals in the winter, try calling in the summer. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And you don't know either. When you call in with your question, how many other people you can help? Because by bringing up this topic, first you find out, you're not alone. Oh, I'm not the only one that has been struggling with this problem in my school or my parish or in my family or my neighborhood and my extended family. And then other people that are listening that couldn't call at this time because they were driving down the highway or they're at work or they can't even dial a phone. Then they hear the question, they hear the answer, then they feel they're not alone. Then they also get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. So call today on The Doctor is In, 877-573-7825. I am the author of Love and Life, a Christian Sexual Morality Guide for Teens, newly revised this past year. It has imprimatur on it now. So if you don't have that new version of the Parents Guide and the Student Workbook or even the Teacher Manual, if you're a teacher of Love and Life, get it today. I'll be so happy when the new bishop's document comes out in November, when they tell you what you should and shouldn't do in chastity education in your parishes and in your homes. My book already matches it because it's always matched the official teachings of the church back from when it first came out, the first edition 20 years ago, because I always studied the original documents from the Vatican before I wrote my textbooks. So there's usually not a surprise when a new document comes out, as the U.S. bishops will this November, that it already matches what's there. Because if you're working and studying with the truth, then the documents aren't going to dramatically change. So that'll be exciting. I'm also the author of Sex Respect, The Option of True Sexual Freedom. And I know many of you struggle with your kids in public schools, with some of the programs that are presented, with too much information too soon, or possibly with information that is really harmful to your junior high and high school students. So consider presenting Sex Respect to your public schools, or maybe to a local Christian school, or maybe to a Sunday school in the area. You can get those at sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com, or call our office at 877-6-RESPECT. That's 673-7732. But for now, call the show. If you have a question or a personal problem, 877-573-7825. We left hanging on Friday with a question on purgatory. And so I ran to my books. I couldn't find my big fat book on purgatory from Tan Books, because I remember reading it. I think I mentioned this, Freddie. I started reading this book on purgatory before I went to bed at night, and it would scare me. And I haven't read the book on hell at all, because I really don't want to go there. But the purgatory book was frightening enough that I was... It wasn't a good book to go to sleep. We'll see that much. But after you asked that question on Friday, I thought, well, I'll give you a couple minutes of purgatory information on Monday, today's show, because on Friday I read you from the Catechism on Purgatory, which is short. I found another catechism, the Father John Harden's catechism. I made a retreat with him probably 20 years ago. He's now deceased, but very, very holy Jesuit man. And he... you know, he wrote in his catechism book on purgatory, he says he doesn't know how intense are the pains, because that's what our caller had asked. You know, is there fire there? Does it hurt? He says we don't know how intense the pains are. And he said most Catholic theologians think that, including some of the saints that you probably already know, in some ways the pains of purgatory are greater than those on earth. He said at least objectively in the loss of the beatific vision after death is worse than not possessing it now. So parallel with their sufferings, the souls also experience intense spiritual joy, though. He said among the mystics, St. Catherine of Genoa wrote, "It seems to me there is no joy comparable to that of the pure souls in purgatory except the joy of the heavenly beatitude." So they are sure of salvation. They have faith, hope, and great charity. They know they will see heaven, but they do have to suffer first. And then I picked up this book that I've read before, The Visions of Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory by Bob and Penny Lord. And you might have read other books by Bob and Penny Lord. They write about the Eucharistic miracles. They write about other visions that saints have had and various miracles raised from the dead. But this one about heaven, hell, and purgatory, they had an interesting story I wanted to share with you regarding purgatory. And the first part of the story says there was a woman who went to confession to her local priest, and she confessed to having gossiped about some of the people in the parish. And the priest told her that for her penance, she'd have to take a feather pillow up to the bell tower of the church and shake out all the feathers in the pillow. She did as he instructed and went back to the priest for absolution. And he said to her, "Before I can absolve you of your sins, you must now go out into the village and pick up all the feathers which you scattered." And she said to him, "But Father, that's impossible." And he replied, "That's true. It's impossible. It's as impossible as trying to undo the damage you've done by slandering your neighbor." So that follows in Bob and Penny Lord's book on heaven, hell, and purgatory, some visions of saints, Margaret Mary Alacoque, on some people who had slandered their neighbor and what kind of time they had to spend in purgatory. And it said one night, St. Margaret Mary was praying for two people of real high standing in the secular world who had recently died when she had a vision of purgatory, and she saw these two women of nobility there, two women of the same station in life, but their periods of purging were different. She said one was a noble and had been guilty of ruining the reputation of many of her subjects, and she was sentenced to many years in purgatory. She says she doesn't know how many for sure, but considering the serious repercussions resulting of her sins, they were beyond any suffering she could have done on earth. She said, however, the thing that's really surprised us is that all the masses offered for this first lady, this noble lady who slandered others, had to go to the souls of the members of the families who had been ruined by the gossip and slander which this person had spread about her subjects. So after all the prayers and indulgences and masses were used for the families that she had slandered, then they would be credited to her until she served her full time in purgatory. So on the other hand, she said the other lady was completely different. She was sentenced to as many days as she has lived years on earth because the way she treated her subjects, which was better. She had put up with the shortcomings and faults of her neighbors with great love and charity. She may actually have been a role model for them as far as charity was concerned, and she took great pains to overcome any animosity she might have had toward them. So the sins against charity caused one soul to suffer longer in purgatory, while the other, for instance, giving charity to a brother or sister, reduced the amount of time the other soul spent in purgatory. So that was just from Bob and Penny Lord's book on Visions of Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory regarding St. Margaret Mary Alacoque's visions of the souls in purgatory. And many more stories like that. So, boy, if that doesn't make you want to be kind to others, I don't know what would, because it's hard to pick up all those feathers after they're strewn out. So we don't know exactly what kind of suffering goes on there, but there is faith, hope, and love in purgatory. So give me a call with your question or personal problem today. Maybe we can solve those now and be Christ to others so we don't have to spend so much time in purgatory. And we can spend less days there and make up for those things that we have done in the past now. And pray and offer our indulgences for those souls in purgatory that need our help right now. And they will certainly pray for us when we need them. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Number is 877-573-7825, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in, pull up a couch, let's talk. The Doctor Is In.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is also a respected Catholic apologist. His 13-part apologetic television series, What Catholics Really Believe, is now available on DVD. With a mix of history, doctrine, and fun debate, Dr. Ray dialogues with Father Kevin Fate as they explore the common Protestant misunderstandings of Catholicism. For more information, go to Dr. Ray's page at AveMariaRadio.net and click on What Catholics Really Believe.
The Doctor Is In is made possible by Heroes in Heaven, a vacation Bible school program that uses stories, puppets, visual aids, creative activities, and drama to illustrate the lives and virtues of the saints of the Catholic Church. Created for children ages 4 through 12, Heroes in Heaven is designed to be an exciting and fun religious program for any school-age child. Now Heroes in Heaven, available for the first time this summer. For more information about Heroes in Heaven, the original Catholic Vacation Bible School curriculum, the webpage is heroesinheaven.com.
This is today's business proverb. Do you carefully research your competition? Here's author and business consultant Steve Marr.
The Lord told Moses, "Send out men so they may spy out the land of Canaan." A key to success is to research and understand your competitors. Check out the company's website and stop by their store, restaurant, or business. Get a feel for how they do business and provide quality and customer service. Consider placing a trial order if practical. See how they treat customers. Don't do anything illegal or unethical, but check them out. Then you can act proactively in your business to move ahead.
A free 5-session online startup business bootcamp is available from Steve Marr. Registrations are available at businessproverbs.com. Learn how to apply the same biblical principles Steve uses in his successful endeavors. This free bootcamp is available online at businessproverbs.com.
The Doctor Is In.
Call 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. The Doctor Is In.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825 in a couple minutes when the first person hangs up, because lines are full now, but everybody can't stay on the whole time, so feel free to continue to call. We might have questions today about forgiveness, too, since yesterday's gospel was on forgiveness. And this morning we got a reaffirmation of that with the eye for the eye thing. No, that was the Old Testament. Forgiveness is the topic of the week. So look at our lives, too. See who we have not forgiven, what kind of bitterness we're holding against people. That takes away our peace. So, we're going to our phones now, and the doctor is in. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems for the next hour. Our caller is from Macomb, Michigan. Jean is the first one today. Welcome to the show, Jean. How can I help you today?
Hi, Colleen. Thanks so much for taking my call. I talked to you last week in regards
to my daughter getting a job, the 17-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And I did the routine, how you said, sit down with her, and we went online, and we did a resume and that. She was very unhappy about doing it,
okay.
But we did it.
Good for you, because they're naturally lazy at this age. And last week I was going through the same thing I told you with my son, like, why do I need two jobs? Well,
right.
The funny thing is he got his second job already. It's a really hard one of those sales jobs where you have to, you know, go on referrals, and he's on his third day, so he's doing real well. So how's your daughter doing, Jean?
Well, what had happened was we did the resume, and she went and got some applications and brought them home. We filled them out, and she realized that this is a good tool because she can use a resume to fill out the applications and that.
Good.
So she took a few of them, but what she's tending to do is she feels she needs to go with her friend to take these. I said, oh, no, this is not what we're doing. And I told her, it's the end of the school year now. They got a few more days. She's wanting to hang out with her friends, the junior year, going to be a senior. And she's so much into the friend thing. And
No,
this is about you. And I said, we have to revise this resume because you need to put on here, she's taking, like, medical careers class this year and next year. So her attitude of how she was going about a job is a fun job, working, you know, at like an ice cream place or a meat restaurant. Or
where people are going to come in and say hi.
yeah, you know, and that. So, and she can be friendly, but we have the attitude going too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I told her, I said, we're going to revise this. And I said, you need to go around here. There's a lot of doctor's offices. I said, you know, maybe they'll hire you for filing, answering phones.
Yes.
You know, let's go this route too, because it's the whole friend thing. They want, you know, they want to hang with the friends. They want to work with the friends. And it's like, I am like at my wit's end. I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to handle it?
Okay. All right. Well, be positive about the friend thing, because one of your tasks in adolescence is to find your place in the world, and
right.
She wants to be accepted by them. But taking the friends in, because I know Steve wanted to do this too, and we taught him this early, you know, 2 years ago when he was looking for a job. And he learned that too because he's competitive. Don't go with your friends. Even if you and your friends are going out and you want their support, they stay in the car. You go in on your own to turn in your application. You don't go in with the friend because that shows you're insecure. And she doesn't want to the boss to think she's insecure and she cannot function well as an adult. Because this is getting the job, tell her, is her next step toward adulthood. Just tell her it's a little step, you know, that she's not going to be getting her career position right now, but she never knows who she is going to run into that might hire her 5 or 6 years from now when she's finished with college. So if she wants to go with friends, the friends stay in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would encourage her, as you are, to realize that getting a career position is going to be so helpful to her right now, because what happens when she wants a job after college, or if she starts to get a job after high school and doesn't go to college, is that they're going to be looking for experience in the field. And when else do you get experience is now in the summers. So when she whines and says, but what about my friends? I want to spend time with my friends. Because I heard this from Steve, too. Like, well, this is my last summer. I'm going away to college, and I'll never see them again, and I want to spend time. So I blocked out a day for him. I pulled off one of those calendars off of the Yahoo email, and I opened it at 6 in the morning, because you can reset the times. And I left it until 11 o'clock at night, which is curfew. And I said, look at all these hours you have in the day.
Right.
And if you just work 6 to 8 hours... and you're awake, 16 hours. Just think of how many hours you have to spend with your friends.
Right, because I did the same thing with her. I said, even, you know, volunteer. But then she's like, well, I don't get paid to volunteer, and I need gas money and da-da-da. And I said, well, yeah, that's why you can do part volunteer, part get a job. I said, and get the good experience and get out there and, you know, establish yourself and that, too. So, but I'm divorced, so her dad, she stays at her dad's house for, like, 3 weeks in the summer, kind of split up. And she's trying to use that kind of as her excuse not to... to get a job, too. So she's trying to justify why she, you know, and I've talked to her dad, and he's all for her getting a full-time job, too.
Oh,
but
good.
He wants her to come live out at his house, which is, like, about an hour and a half from our house.
Mm.
in the summer, and, you know, I have custody of her, and it's like, this is so hard because, you know, there's different houses, different rules, different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of my problem, too, you know. So
well, do you have time to go with her to these places and drive her
mm-hmm.
around?
Because yeah, I can go with her. I can set some time aside and actually go with her, too. Mm-hmm.
And what you might want to do is to, you know, plot out her day, look at the hours she has available, and show her that she does have social time. She's not going to be working. Tell her you will not allow her to work 16 hours a day. She has to only work 8.
Okay.
Only 8 hours a day, and no more than 40 hours a week, unless she really wants to. You'd let her go 50 or 60, but try to stick with the 40 hours, and then she'll have all that other time with her friends. And tell her that it's very good for her career and her future and her character development to work at a place that isn't around friends, because
mm-hmm.
she has more temptations when she's working with her friends or around friends or at the ice cream parlor to do things with her friends and to do things that help her grow up. And just tell her that this getting the job is a step toward adulthood, but it's not taking away those other 10 hours of the day where she can still play around as an adolescent. So remind her that 8 hours a day she's expected to act like an adult, look for an adult job. And so what she needs then is for you to not listen to the excuses. Say, you know, excuses are from the devil. Just tell her, you are better than that. I know that you have character, you have diligence, you have brains, you can work hard, you have a great personality. Just point out her good qualities, Jean. Keep bringing up those great things that she is, because teenagers don't think of that enough. So remind her all the qualities she has that are going to make her successful in the adult world and in the work world, and build her up with those as you drop her off and send her into the next place to get her job. And then when she's gotten a certain number of applications in to the top places, and you sit with the list of places within driving distance that you think would be good for her to work at,
mm-hmm.
and go over that list together and say, what are the best opportunities that you have, or the ones that have the most openings? And those places, you know, if you might send out 20, deliver 20 resumes in person, and that's what, you know, she can go in, find out who does the hiring, hand it to them, you know, be dressed nicely, decently, like a businesswoman, and introduce herself. Even if it's the secretary, that person sometimes gets a vote in who they hire, and then go back the next week and follow up again in person, and keep doing that for 2 or 3 weeks until they finally say, hey, this girl's been coming in here every week. I mean, she's probably going to have a job by the second week, but she's really looking for work, and she looks, you know, real responsible. She works hard. They'll see her perseverance, and that's a huge, huge virtue, diligence and perseverance that a lot of young people don't have. So support her in that. Take her around to do that. Let her know you're her biggest cheerleader rather than her enemy, and I think that'll turn the table for you.
Okay, great.
Okay, good luck to you.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
Sure. Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number, and I told you when somebody hangs up, there's a line waiting for you. You know, we're going to go to our break first so we can spend a little more time with Connie. Hang on, Connie from Omaha. We'll be right back after this message.
The Doctor Is In. Now, don't you feel better?
From real estate to plumbing, from pet care to dentistry, Catholic business professionals are finding increased business when advertising with the Catholic Business Pages. For more information about advertising or to get your free copy, go to CatholicBusinessPages.com or call 734-930-4536. Get better results when you advertise. That's CatholicBusinessPages.com or call 734-930-4536. CatholicBusinessPages.com is brought to you this week by Hines Park Ford, who want to invite you to visit us at I-96 and Milford Road. We strive for superior customer satisfaction, which is why we've received the prestigious President's Award for 6 straight years. For your convenience, we're open Saturdays for sales and service, so stop by today or visit us at www.hinespark.com. That's hinespark.com. Hines Park Ford, where you feel more like a friend than a customer. CatholicBusinessPages.com, your best choice.
Moral theologian Dr. Janet Smith is our guest on Putting on the Mind of Christ this week. The title of this talk tonight is Why Natural Sex is Best, but it has a lot to do with hormones. I'm going to talk a lot about the chemical contraceptives. I'll also say something about the barrier forms of contraceptive. Contraceptives have an enormous influence on us. They do amazing things to our bodies and to our relationships. And I very much want to talk tonight about what the hormones in the chemical contraceptives do to a woman's body and do to male-female relationships.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Professor Janet Smith's contraception, Why Not?, has more than a million CDs and cassettes in distribution. She's reworked a hugely successful talk. This week on our program, we have the secular, philosophical version for those who will not accept biblical references. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
The doctor is in!
Call 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. The doctor is in.
Hey, welcome back to The Doctor is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573. We don't want to say it too fast. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today on The Doctor is In. Connie from Omaha, welcome to the show. How can I help you today, Connie?
Yes, hello, Colleen. Thank you for taking my call. I've been wanting to call for a while, and I have a nerve to call today.
Today is your day.
Yes.
I'm glad you called, Connie.
Yes, this question may be a little broad. I'm not sure, and it kind of related a little bit to the previous one. I've just been wondering what is wrong with what I've been doing. Sometimes I feel like I have jealousy or overhear the people talking about their successes. They got this job or they got master's in school, and I feel like I'm just always in the same slump, either lacking confidence, I'm not sure with myself, or self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to counseling for a year just to bring myself, and it seems like it's not helping as much. At times I feel like I'm motivated, and I do things, and I volunteer. I'm a catechist, and I do things in my life, but I don't know if it's a success. It's something like I should tell, hey, you know what, I'm a catechist, I've been a volunteer for years. You know, it seems like it isn't in part like with others who say, you know, I'm got this $40,000 job, or, you know, just their income. I don't know if I'm trying to compare against their incomes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what they have is much more successful than what I have. It's like I'm not good enough, or is it my personality, or what it is that I can get that feeling of, wow, I'm doing something great. Or if I'm doing something great, I want to know how I can feel that what I'm doing is okay in life.
Okay. All right. Well, Connie,
explain that more. But it just feels like I'm envious, and I don't want to feel that way in my life. You know, all of my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, for that.
That is a struggle of envy. But first of all, we have to remember in our life, who are we supposed to impress? Who do you live for? There's one person's opinion that counts, and that's God's. And so we always look what, you know, when we have any, especially in any of these seven capital sins, like envy, jealousy, we look to see, first of all, where do we stand before God? Is this something am I looking for my esteem from other human beings, rather than looking at it from God? Or am I unfairly comparing myself to other people? Now, God gave you particular talents and gifts and a personality that is all your own, Connie. And He expects from you, as we read in all the gospel stories, to develop your own talents and offer them back to God. So if you're looking at somebody else's talents, and this is a common thing to do. I mean, you look at somebody else's talents or how they've taken advantage of opportunities, and you see, wow, they're better than I am, just because you look at the standards of the world or you look at how other people are judging you. But the real important way to look at yourself is, how do I look in the eyes of God? What has God given me? What have I done with what he has given me to develop this particular talent or skill? And how have I offered this back to him? So between you and God, he knows that you're a catechist. You don't even have to brag about it. It wouldn't even be good to do that. You could make that one of those secrets between you and him. And when somebody else is bragging about this or that, in your heart, you go to prayer and you just smile, because you know that God knows what you're doing for him, not to tell other people and not to brag about it. But then also, it's unfair of you to compare yourself to other people, because they got a different set of opportunities, talents, and skills than you did. And so if you're feeling bad, look to see if it's justified or unjustified. It's justified if God gave you a certain set of talents, skills, and opportunities, and you haven't used them. Maybe you've been, you know, lazy or looking at a different set of standards than what God really calls you to. That's one thing. But if you've done all that you possibly can do, or you're starting to do that now, you're just picking up saying, wow, I didn't realize this is what I can offer God, being a catechist or volunteering at the nursing home or taking on a this certain position at work or doing these particular things at home or helping out with my extended family or my neighborhood or my parish. You're offering all your gifts of God to God. Then it's unfair what you're doing, which is comparing yourself to other people. Now, in the world standards, what do they think is important, Connie? The people that you hang around with, people in the world, what are they looking at? Money, esteem, resumes.
More and big, money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're looking to store up treasures that are here. Now, this doesn't mean you have to be poor. If God has given you those talents and opportunities to take advantage of that, and you run a wonderful company that provides employment for many people, that, you know, that's not a bad thing. Actually, that's a good thing. It helps the whole of society. But if you are fulfilling the opportunities he's given you, then it's unfair to look at other people and compare yourself to them, because that makes you envious. So compare yourself only to what God has given you, what you've done with it, and what he wants you to do. So the root of this, really, since it's envy, one of those seven capital sins, the root of this is going to be in your prayer life and in your goodness and kindness and generosity to other people. So how are you giving? You said you're a catechist. You know, what do you do with your time, Connie?
A lot of time when I know that there are other people in need of things, instead of giving them to the Goodwill, and I give them to the families, clothes, things that I know the family will use.
Okay.
I help my parents, whatever it is, yard work, whatever I can, find my time. When I find myself busy, I feel happier. But I don't know if that, overall, I feel like my confidence is not as strong, and just, I don't find it in me.
Okay.
My confidence.
Okay, remember that you get heavenly credit for this. Some people work for rewards here, and some people are working for rewards later. Like, if there is a need in your, you know, family or your personal situation where you need to work for money, maybe you should be working at your talents and skills. Maybe it's, you know, a feeling that says, I could be offering more to society, you know, being a social worker or working at a nurse's aide in a nursing home or things like that. But if you aren't in need of that, and you're structurally, with your day, using your time well for God, then you bring that to him each day. You bring that to him each Sunday at Mass. So look at the use of your time. Maybe block out your time and look to see you have the balance of recreation. You have a good amount of your prayer life. If you can get to Mass each day and each morning, look to God. Look at the daily gospel and reflect and see, how can I live that gospel today? How can I plan that into my life? And at the end of each day, look to see what you have done for God, and compare yourself only to those standards he shows you in the quiet of your heart with the gifts that he's given you. And don't compare yourself to others, because that's unfair. So try those tips, Connie, and God bless you as you use your time to serve God well. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825. Our next caller is Diane from Clausen, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Diane. How can I help you today?
Oh, thank you so much. I know you're a mom, I believe, as well as a counselor, and I need your advice. My situation, I'm 56 years old. I'll be 57 in November, so I'm almost 56 and a half. And when I was growing up as a child, I had one positive and one negative. The positive was that I liked school a lot, and I got good grades, and I really liked school, and that was like a positive thing for me. The negative was I had no discipline in the home. Our home was had two troubles. One was it was always kind of tense and nervous and tense around the home, but the other thing was I had no limits at all. I could do pretty much whatever I wanted, and I know that's not good for a child not to have boundaries or training as to discipline. And the thing I'm asking perhaps for your perspective is, as an adult now, I'm trying to figure out if I might have attention deficit disorder or if it's just why my brain has trouble concentrating when I'm reading, or especially like if I want to sit back and do anything that requires concentration, like writing in my checkbook or anything that requires concentration, I have to like suck on hard candy or do something to get my mind focused a little bit. I also have a health problem, fibromyalgia, which makes you tired, so that might complicate it, but I didn't know if I if there was a possibility of going to like a psychologist to get tested to see can adults have attention deficit even if they did okay as a child in school, or I'm trying to figure out who to consult.
Attention deficit is a possibility at any stage of life. And so it could be rooted in a couple things. One could be your lack of training and discipline if you didn't have that when you were a child. Some people never learn to focus and concentrate because it's not demanded of them, whether it's the loose parenting or that the school, you know, had so many kids in the class they didn't even notice if you were paying attention. But you can at any age begin training yourself. There are people even older than you, senior citizens, that work on focus, training, hold themselves accountable. Even people I know in nursing homes end up doing that, where they want to learn to concentrate, they want to learn a new skill that's much more challenging when they're already, you know, 80 years old than it was when they were 10. But it certainly is doable at any time to retrain yourself. It helps if you have someone to hold you accountable, a relative or a friend, or you use a buzzer, you don't watch as much television because that keeps us distracted. They change things so quickly, they change scenes often. But if you want to train yourself or have somebody work with you to train you to have a greater attention span, it certainly is possible. And there might even be books on that in the library. But again, either you have somebody hold you accountable for it or you use a type of a buzzer kind of system to do that. Another thing that it could be based in is a nutritional...
Say that again.
Another thing that the attention problem could be based in is a nutritional imbalance. And when you say you have fibromyalgia too, that might also, I mean, there are all sorts of nutritional imbalances or chemical imbalances that go on in our body. I know people who have gotten great results from one of the sponsors of our show, the Life Management Group. They have a supplement that has helped a lot of people with nutritional imbalances, whether it's an imbalance that causes attention problems or certain types of pain. So I could give you their number, too, and they might be able to help you because we always like to support our advertisers. Their number of the Life Management Group is 866-855-7424. That's 866-855-7424.
Okay.
And they, again, can help you with nutritional balance. And so that would help you figure out if a lot of this is just a chemistry, you know, a chemistry that has been exacerbated by the lack of training or discipline that you missed when you were a child. So I'd try the nutritional balance, get yourself, and then work yourself into seeing if you can help yourself. But there's nothing wrong with going to a counselor to get assistance in that. And they can test you just as they can test a child at school, only at school it's the social workers that do that. So any kind of counselor could probably help you with that. And you can get a referral from a local social service agency, or even the local high school might have those referrals available for you.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you, and I enjoy your program. Okay, so to get tested, would it be a psychologist that would do testing? Are there the ones that are trained for testing?
Yes, they can do that.
A psychologist. Thank
right.
you so much.
Okay, God bless.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
And the counselors that we like to refer people to on the show, of course, would be the Catholic ones at CatholicTherapists.com. Always check there first. CatholicTherapists.com is a place where you can get a referral to a person who believes the teachings of the Catholic Church and applies those to their practice of psychology. So CatholicTherapists.com is a place to look for to see if there's a good Catholic therapist in your area, because you want to support those that are looking to not make us self-centered, secular people, but truly people that focus on doing God's will in our life and being healthy and whole and well, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So try that, CatholicTherapist.com. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Well, hang on, everybody. Don't go away, and we'll be right back after this message.
Relax. The doctor is in.
It's getting harder and harder to cope with your budget, which is getting stretched further and further. Well, I've got someone here that I want you to talk to, Ken Towne at Fellowship Home Lending. Ken, what are you telling people when homeowners come to you with this problem?
A lot of the problem for homeowners, with the income side of the budget, there's only so much that you can do. I mean, it's really the debt side of things that you really want to focus on, and do whatever you can do to try and restructure some things. You know, once you put them together into a nice, tidy little package, can provide a lot of relief in the family budget.
So is the answer a home equity loan?
It could be a home equity loan or a first mortgage. Every situation is unique, and that's what's good about what we do here, is that we're not going to push any specific product. We're just going to roll up our sleeves and look at what best product is the solution for you and for your family.
So make that call today to Ken Towne and the staff at Fellowship Home Lending. Get the plan that's right for you. The number is 800-660-6433. That's 800-660-6433.
This is today's business proverb. Do you carefully research your competition? Here's author and business consultant Steve Marr.
The Lord told Moses, send out men so they may spy out the land of Canaan. A key to success is to research and understand your competitors. Check out the company's website and stop by their store, restaurant, or business. Get a feel for how they do business and provide quality and customer service. Consider placing a trial order if practical. See how they treat customers. Don't do anything illegal or unethical, but check them out. Then you can act proactively in your business to move ahead.
A free 5-session online startup business bootcamp is available from Steve Marr. Registrations are available at businessproverbs.com. Learn how to apply the same biblical principles Steve uses in his successful endeavors. This free bootcamp is available online at businessproverbs.com.
The doctor is in.
Call 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. The doctor is in.
Welcome to The Doctor is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-5-PEP-TALK. Got plenty of calls here for our last segment. Should be an interesting segment of the show. Our next caller is Terry from Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome, Terry. You're on the air now. How can I help
Hi,
you?
Hi, Dr. Colleen. How are you?
Great. Just great.
Good, good. My husband and I kind of blew it. We were invited to our 19-year-old son's girlfriend's graduation party, and we've never met her parents before. They've been dating now for quite a while, I think like around 9 or 10 months. But anyway, the father of the girl he was just kind of showing us around. He's got a big garage that he refinishes his cars in. And, you know, he had this one drawer open, and he said, you know, he goes, I'm just so busy with this, I haven't even opened up my last year's worth of Playboy magazines. And I couldn't see the top of the stack. So I said, you're just kidding. He says, oh, I'm not kidding. He goes, I'm a man, aren't I? And my husband and I just looked at each other, and we didn't say anything. And, you know, I'm just so ashamed. We're both so ashamed of ourselves that we kept silent. And we missed this opportunity, you know, to say something we should have said. And sometimes it's just so hard to be courageous and speak out.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to be prepared. You have to know what to say, too.
Well, yeah, we are prepared, you know, but I guess it just caught me so off guard, and it was so unexpected. You know, I mean, her parents are happily married, and we were just shocked, and we just didn't say anything, and later we were kicking ourselves, you know, why didn't we say something? And I was wondering if you have any ideas of maybe we could still, you know, say something, or, I mean, we may never see these people again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Do you have any suggestions of where we go from here? I know that my husband and I are going to talk to our son.
Yeah, that's the first place to go, right.
Yeah, and, you know, what kind of family, you know, Eric, I mean, she's a very nice girl. She does not go to church. The parents are not practicing their faith. I know that they were both brought up Christian, one Catholic and one Protestant. And so it's like they just leave it to her. If she wants to go to church, she can. If she doesn't, she doesn't. But she does, you know, go to Mass with Eric a lot, our son. So my question is, do you have any ideas of maybe what we can do to still kind of
help them
right where we messed up?
Okay. What would you have said, Terry, if you had a second chance?
Well, I probably would have said, well, you know, that's not right what you're doing there. You know, it's really wrong. And to tell you the truth, you know, this kind of stuff is just going to rot your soul. And not only that, but ruin your marriage. You know, this is very wrong. And, you know, something like that.
Okay. It's when we commit a sin of omission, if you believe that you were supposed to have done that and you didn't respond to a prompting of the Holy Spirit, the first thing we always do is confess it. You know, because if you feel bad about that, you know how we have to confess what we've done and what we failed to do. That could have been one of those, what we failed to do. And then teaching, so that's one, number one. You want to get the grace to have the courage to speak up when God wants you to speak up. And secondly, teaching your son not just that what that guy is doing is wrong, but to teach your son how to treat women so he isn't tempted later on to use them as objects for his own pleasure, to see, so he can understand at this delicate age, an age of great sexual temptation coming upon him the next 4 years, that this is this use of pornography, even if people say, oh, it's just soft, you know, it's Playboy magazine, is again making women objects for men's pleasures, and it takes away from a relationship rather than helps it. So he needs to be instructed, if he cares for this girl, to be extra careful, to respect her for who she is and not take advantage of her in any way, even emotionally or personally, because she needs to relearn that marriage and relationships are not for using one another. As far as a comment goes, you might want to be a little more subtle, and I'm not sure you have to go back and say something to them, but the first thing I thought of when you said that, the first thing you do is pray. Lord, please, through my omission, give them the grace to see, or put somebody else in their life is what I always pray. Can you have somebody else go in and tell them that? So it's possible with your son knowing this, maybe he even would in some way educate his girlfriend that might bring that up. Hey, Dad, that's using women as objects. You shouldn't be looking at those. But a more positive thing you might be able to say is, you know, if you had that opportunity again, or if you're standing in the garage and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about what you said about all those, you know, Playboy magazines hanging there in your garage, you say, it might have been better that you didn't look at them. My husband and I love each other, and we don't need any third parties to get us enthused about one another because we truly try to base our relationship on our individual and mutual love for each other. And that way you state something rather positive, and it'll make him think, rather than you condemning him and saying, hey, that's harmful to your soul, just say, oh, really? There's another way that love can be expressed physically that doesn't have to do with looking at pornography. So I'd take that opportunity some other time where you might be there, or just if you live nearby, or go for a ride on your bikes, or drop him off sometime, to bring that up and just make it a positive statement of how we can and should and do, rather than a condemning statement. So maybe it was a gift of grace at that moment that you didn't say anything, because he might not have been ready to hear a condemning statement, but he might be ready to hear something, just that next step to make him think about what he's doing. Or you could offer, hey, I'll burn those for you.
I mean, he knew by my face, you know, how disapproving, you know, because it's like I didn't smile, you know, I didn't laugh, you know. I mean, you know, he was just saying this in a very casual, like, everybody does this kind of way.
Right,
he
had nothing
to hide, you know, and I just stood there, you know, and I didn't smile or anything, but, you know, I've listened to Father Crappie so much.
Oh. Yeah, I heard him on Saturday night, right.
You know, it's like, and he is so, you know, aggressive. It's like,
you're right.
You know, he doesn't hold anything back. But then again, I'm not Father Crappie.
You know what? Loan him your Father Crappie tapes. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, it's like we may never see these people again, and they don't live close by. This is like over a half hour. They're over a half hour away.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You might want to say, you know, you might want to mail them those and just say, hey, you know, you had a question about your, you know, you're wondering about those tapes. Here's what Father Crappie says about this. Man, he's been into some really bad things before. And then send him one of the CDs of Father Crappie's talk on the Sixth and Ninth Commandment. That'll really make up for what you missed.
Huh? Yeah, you know, if we could do something through Eric, you know, through our son, that would be good. But that's the only way that we're ever really going to see them probably again. I mean, unless
you know, I'd mail it to him. I'd not have your son responsible for that. I'd mail it
to him.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he himself could say something, you know, that would be good too, but I don't think he would.
Mm-hmm. So. No, your job is to form him right now so that he can form himself and can respond to others. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to teach your son that when he sees this going on, whether he's in the armed services or in college dorms, that he knows how to respond to that. So give him the education that he needs to do that. And if you feel called to send the girlfriend's dad some Father Crappie tapes, you can do that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for calling, Terry.
About that, and thank you very much.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling. I'm not even going to tell you the number. We barely have time for the calls that are on here, but you can always call Dr. A tomorrow, and I'll be back on Friday. Our next caller is Michael from St. Louis. Welcome to the show, Michael. You're on the air now.
Hello, Doctor. How are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, basically this is the problem. My wife and I have just adopted a child about a year ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, it's not so great right now.
Okay.
I don't feel like my wife loves the child like it's mine. Unfortunately, we're unable to have children, and we thought it'd be the best to adopt, but I just don't feel like she's coming around towards the child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry?
Is she taking care of the child?
Of course. She says she loves him, but you can just tell that she feels like it's not hers, and I just don't feel she's feeling very motherly towards the child.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It hurts because I wanted this so bad, and I just wanted a family, and...
Right.
You know, it's killing me inside is what it is.
Ooh. Okay, well, that's a worse problem than what's actually occurring, of what it's doing to you, Michael, right now. First of all, try not to judge your wife's approach or attitude. Remember that love is our willingness to work for the good of another person. And if she's taking care of this child, doing everything that needs to be done as a mother, we don't know exactly what's going on in her heart, and she doesn't have the hormones like a nursing mother would, or as a mom who had given birth, but she has the grace of God. And so the feelings
might not always show. I mean, even one of my children that I delivered, I didn't like for quite a few months because he was, I mean, it was my premature baby. He was killing me. He lived on machines. I didn't have any feelings toward him except I was just glad he was out of me. So that's my public confession of that. So, but as time went on, he became my favorite child. I loved him more than any of the others. And when he first got here, I didn't even care if he lived or died for a while because I was almost dead myself. I mean, so don't judge her love for the child on what you perceive to be her feelings. Because you know what that's going to do, Michael, is create, one, some anger in you or wonder.
I have such hostility towards her, but I keep it inside.
Right.
She never yell in
the
house.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I have such anger because it's like, please, I grew up in a great family and she had it extremely tough growing up, and maybe that has something to do with it, and she doesn't know how to react to the child, but I just know the way it should be, and she's just not going along with the program, you know?
Okay, with what you think should be the program. Okay, this is what we've got to fix, Michael. One, in your heart, pray to God that you can be the head of the family as you're supposed to be without this anger, this resentment. Your expectations of your family have to be different than the family that you came from. And you're the leader of this. You're the head of the family, as God has appointed you to teach how to love, not to judge how she is loving. So if there are certain things you want to do or you want to express, I would build on the positives with your wife. For example, the things that she does that are so loving, instead of in your heart just burying this, that's just going to fester, you should be looking for the good. Look to see, wow, just thank you so much for mothering him. And that's going to start her hormones to enhance that love more than this silent wall you're building between. You know how you can feel each other's feelings when you're married?
Well, exactly, yeah.
Yes.
She knows it, too.
Yeah.
I don't express it, but she knows.
Right, exactly. She knows it. So what you're going to do is pray that God transforms your heart to an unconditional love for your wife that is not dependent on how she's treating the child. That your job is to love, love, love her unconditionally as God loves us unconditionally. And ask God to take that barrier away. Take that out of your heart, and he can do that. I mean, he can do anything. He can raise himself from the dead. He can change your heart. I mean, that's like moving a mountain sometimes. But God truly can change your heart. Beg him. Ask him to do that by his grace, that you can look at your wife and love her with the greatest love. Because, Michael, she's going to catch the love from you. She's going to catch it because she's going to feel those feelings in the air where the resentment's gone. You're going to admire her as a mother, make comments and compliments on those things that are most loving, and she will be transformed by your transforming love. So it doesn't have to be a gooey, feely love. It's the love that she's caring for this child, the love she feels from you, and she'll be passing on that love to the child. So God bless you, and thank you for calling. And remember to be Christ.
For more great advice from Colleen, log on to www.avemariaradio.net and click on Shows and Hosts, where you'll find a link to her personal webpage. The Doctor Is In is a production of Ave Maria Radio. Be with us next time for The Doctor Is In.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild calendar is brought to you by Parish Publishing Solutions. Join Miles Christi for a two-day conference on the dictatorship of relativism and the Protestant Reformation, Saturday, June 23rd and Sunday, June 24th at the St. John Center in Plymouth. The weekend includes talks, mass, exposition, and confessions will be available. For more information, call 248-596-9677. Strengthen your marriage with a worldwide marriage encounter weekend, June 22nd through the 24th, also at the St. John Center in Plymouth. This weekend will help married couples build necessary communication skills. To reserve your place, call 248-528-2512. You can find many more events at our website, amcgill.org. Parish Publishing has been fulfilling church bulletin needs for over 70 years. Call them at 800-521-4486.
A popular TV drama gets into the debate on when life begins.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A recent episode of the TV medical drama House explored the question of when life begins. In a compelling scene, a mother-to-be is deathly ill and doctors debate the best course of action for her and the unborn baby. But as one doctor...